I just have a short topic that we want to look at while we discuss. And as we discuss, we will take your questions. Now, your questions could be on anything we've studied, especially this month. You know, we've been talking about God's good and perfect gift. That's been our theme for this month of February 2021. Isn't it interesting how the month is almost gone? So, who's discussing with me tonight? And we'll be looking together is none other but Daddy Bams, A-Y. If you can come back on, sir. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, great, sir. Thank you for having me on tonight, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Good evening, always everyone, good for joining us tonight.
Okay, that is Elder Daddy A.Y. Ayobamishile. Now, you know, at the start of the month, when we took communion, you spoke on that ultimate gift that God can ever give us, and that's the gift of His Son. And if God can give us His best ultimate gift, which is Jesus, how much more any other gift? And quite profound what you shared with us, because you brought us to remember not just the words of Jesus, but Jesus Himself. Can you remember the stuff you shared with us then? But let's just have a quick word of prayer as we just rely on the Holy Spirit tonight. Go into questions and answers. Thank you, everybody. Yes, people are commenting already. Hello, Pastor. Yes, I'm here. Is it possible for God to give me a gift and I don't know I have it? We will look at all those questions. Let's just pray. All right, Mr. Bams, let's just pray. Hello, Father, we just thank you tonight. We rely on you, not on anything we premeditated, not on any residual knowledge we have. We want fresh manna from you tonight. Holy Spirit, we commit this broadcast, this live broadcast, we commit all the equipment, we commit the network, we commit the internet, and we commit every heart and mind, including ours, myself, and my brother, Ayo here. Lord God, fill us afresh with the power of your Spirit. Inspire us. Give us understanding. Give us your word directly. Heal somebody tonight. Deliver someone, because your word never returns to you void, and your word accomplishes just what you please for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Yes, Uncle A.Y., can you remember you did tell us about the greatest gift of God? What about that gift? Can you do a little bit of refresher?
Yes, we spoke about the gift of God that God gave to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what we looked at that day was Jesus, when He was speaking with the Pharisees and the scribes, and He was talking about the bread that comes from heaven. And He was trying to tell them then, during that discourse, that He was that gift of the bread of heaven. And He was relating Himself to the fathers of Israel, which was the time of Moses when they had just left Egypt. And He was trying to explain to them that, yes, you know about your father, the fathers that came out of Egypt, and Moses that led them out. And He was speaking about manna, and that manna was God's gift for the children of Israel in the wilderness, that God fed them with manna. And He was trying to tell them that Moses was not the one who gave them the manna, but it was His father who gave them the gift of that manna. But that manna actually represented something which was now present in their midst, although they did not recognize it at the time, that He was that bread from heaven, and that if they would eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, they would have life eternal, which is what the Jews at the time were looking forward to. They were looking for that gift of eternal life. But that gift of eternal life was actually presented in His Son, which was a perfect gift that was given back then. But that gift is so powerful and so perfect that even today we are enjoying that gift of the Son. And also,
thank you very much.
He said that once he has given us that gift, he could give us every other gift. So that's just what I wanted to add as well.
So in other words, once we have Jesus, there's no limit to what our heavenly daddy cannot release unto us. That's quite refreshing. You know, we went on and, Apostle Lady Cruz, Yeti, went on to tell us about another gift. She talked a little bit about the unexpected gift, but she did speak then about the Holy Spirit. So we've looked at the gift of Jesus. We've looked at the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that was also what we looked at last week. And, you know, so we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And for those on the broadcast, if you were with us on Sunday, we talked about also the gift of grace, which comes through Jesus also. So I'll just talk briefly as your questions come. And Uncle Ewa and I will look at these questions. So please just be mindful as the questions come, sir, so that we read them. So tonight, I'll just do a little discussion around the characteristics of what God's good and perfect gifts are. And then we will take the questions as they come tonight. So the characteristics of God's good and perfect gift, the characteristics. Now, these gifts are captured in those three things we discussed. And that is in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace. So I want to start with grace, which is at the bottom. Now, when we look at Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, the story there is a story of how God gave that gift of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, John literally means God is gracious, or Jehovah is the gracious giver. You know, grace is not something you earn. We don't earn it. We actually, like Noah in the Bible, find it, receive the grace of God. And the book of Titus clearly tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So that gift of grace is not partial. It's something that God freely gives to everyone. And I would just advise anyone joining this Bible study, you can go back to the Sunday broadcast and listen to how to receive that good and perfect gift of grace. It was the part one. Don't miss the part two this Sunday. So this Sunday we'll be rounding up with that. So John was that gift of grace. So we want to use John, what the angel said about John, to draw out these characteristics. Okay, so if we look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. So Uncle Ay, I want us to look at this together, and then let's draw some things out. What are the characteristics of this good and perfect gift of grace? Now, in verse 13, so let's use John as the type of grace. Okay, as a metaphor of God's grace, because his name literally means God is gracious. And when you look at it, Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't really do anything in terms of their own works for them to have the grace of John being given to them, because Zechariah was old, Elizabeth was barren. So in terms of humanly speaking, it was just a gift that God just chose to give to them graciously. The gift of the baby at such a time in their life. So verse 13 says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So let's replace John. You shall call his name, God is gracious. God is the grace giver, the grace of God. Okay? So let's look at verse 14 now. And sir, look at the characteristics. And you will have joy and gladness. You will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. What does that tell us about the gift of grace that God gives us? The grace will bring joy and gladness. So that's a characteristic. It's like, you know, can I ask you, Uncle Ewai, if you can cast your mind back, is there a gift you've received maybe recently or in the past? And tell us how you felt when you had that gift, something you really, really loved. You know, I know your wife is a gift to you. So cast your mind back. Let's look at things physically. Can you recall any gift you got recently or in the past? And how did it make you feel?
Yes. I've received a few. One is my wife, as you said. Before my wife, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, my wife was a very good and very perfect gift for me. And the reason is she's that gift that keeps on giving. So two examples. One, Doc Uche, her brother, gave me a gift of a jacket that I wore the other day, and it was a very good gift because a lot of people commented on the looks of that jacket on the day. So that's a gift that keeps on giving. Then another gift I received recently was a surprise she did for me, I think on my birthday. You know, as I woke up that morning, she just came into the room with a cake that was so so deliciously looking and so beautiful. Coupled with herself as well, coming into the room as a gift.
that's a double there.
It was a double gift for me. So
okay. So back to that scripture. Yes. God's gift will bring us joy and gladness. So a gift that God gives, a good and a perfect gift, will give joy and gladness. Now let's move on to verse 15. It says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Now, what can we draw from that of the good and perfect gift of grace? We've said in verse 14, will give us joy and gladness. It will, you know, we will rejoice. Now, verse 15, God's perfect gift will be great. It's something that will be great, you know. God himself is a great God. And he says he will be great in the sight of the Lord. You know, so any good and perfect gift from God is going to be a great gift. It's going to be beyond what a human being can even give us. And if we move on and it starts in verse, you say, "We'll neither drink wine nor strong drink." Now, what can we draw from that? You know, what does wine and strong drink do to a human being, sir? Let me just put you on the spot there. By the way, do you drink wine and strong drink? Let me expose you tonight. What does wine and strong drink do to human beings so that we can draw something?
Yes, it's wine and strong drink. It's, I mean, from the Bible, it's actually quite mixed. But if we look at it from the negative sense, especially to the individual, it's one thing that dulls, it dulls imagination, it dulls the senses, lets us lose control of ourselves.
That's right.
It actually even causes hurts to the person. Because if you look at Proverbs, it talks about the person who is having issues or probably depression. Those are the people who tend to go towards wine and strong drink. So it's a drink that it's used to dull us from reality, because maybe the reality that we're going through at that point in time is so negative that we cannot cope. So the after effect is also that we lose control of ourselves. And what now happens is that we start to do things and we don't remember. And in that time period, we may have caused damage to our reputation, to ourselves, and to other people. Mm-hmm.
So a good and a perfect gift from God will not cause that kind of corruption. It's not going to damage. It's actually going to add to us. It's not going to take away. It's not something that God will give us and we lose control. So that's the kind of a metaphor of what we can draw from there. It says he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. You know, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. So the gift will be comforting. The gift, perfect gift of God, of grace, is something that brings comfort to us. Like you said, it's not going to harm us. Okay? Now, if we move on to verse 16, it will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. What does that say about the good and perfect gift of grace again? It's not something that will draw us away from God. It's even something that will turn us, improve our relationship with God. God will not give us something that will damage, destroy us, or destroy our relationship with him. So it's not something he will give us, because it's good and perfect, that will affect our relationship. Mindful of our time so that we can take questions. When you look at the next verse, it says, verse 16, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Same thing. So it's something that will reconcile, bring reconciliation. It will point us to God. People will see that gift, and it will point people to God. And let's go again. Let's run down verse 17, which is where we're stopping. Look at this. He will also go before him the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to children, disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What can you draw from that, sir? I said, make the people ready for the Lord. That talks about reconciliation also. So God's good and perfect gift of grace. I don't know. Do you want to say something about quickly so that we move on to Jesus? Yes, and then we move on to the Holy Spirit.
Just in addition to what you said, it brings reconciliation. And it was a good one because it talks about fathers to children, children to fathers. And we live in a time where a lot of people, a lot of us struggle with fatherlessness. Statistically, it's showing that people that don't have fathers are more likely to commit crimes, they are more likely to end up in jail, they are more likely to actually commit suicide. So the gift of God actually brings reconciliation. But that reconciliation in itself brings healing. Families come together, and once we have intact families, we have intact communities. When we have intact communities, we have intact churches, intact states, intact nations, and obviously an intact world. Thank you.
Yeah. And it says, he will, when you look at the latter end of that verse 17, he says that he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Those are the characteristics of the perfect and good gift of grace. Now, when you look down to that same Luke chapter 1, Jesus now is that good and perfect gift, like we learned. What are the things we can draw also from that scripture about the characteristics of the good and perfect gift from God? Because people are online watching some questions I can see about how do I know if it's a good and a perfect gift from God. These are the characteristics. Okay? These are the characteristics. So when you look at verse 31, we see the gift of Jesus to the virgin called Mary. So in that verse 31, it says, you will conceive in your womb, you bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. So what's this gift Jesus called? Jehovah is salvation. That's the literal meaning of Jesus. Jehovah saves. That means God is salvation. God saves. So a good and a perfect gift from God will actually bring salvation. It's not going to bring bondage. It's going to bring freedom, liberty. It's not going to bring a yoke. You know, some people have gifts, and that gift ends up being a yoke, you know, upon them. The gift ends up putting them in some kind of a bondage also. So let's note that. Okay, let's go to verse 32. Look at that characteristic again. Same thing we saw in the gift of grace. It's called John. It will be great. A good and perfect gift from God will be a great gift beyond human, what a human being can give you. When you recall our foundational scripture of God's perfect gift, God's good and perfect gift in James chapter 1, it says, every good and perfect gift, they come from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So that gift is not from man. It's not what a human being can give. It's what a great God can give to us. A great gift from a great God. He says, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So it gives us authority. It empowers us. When you look at the word throne there, it will help us to reign in life. So a good and a perfect gift from God. That's another characteristic. And finally, when we look at verse 33, it says, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There was something you said, Uncle Ewa, about a gift that keeps on
giving.
So that's it there. His kingdom, there shall be no end. So a good and a perfect gift from God has those characteristics. Finally, before we start taking the questions, the Holy Spirit. Awesome. You know, somebody asked last week, Uncle Ewa, that how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Which is an interesting question. You see, there's something, sir, we do unconsciously. I was discussing further with my wife. We're having a discussion. I said that let's look at the Bible, all right? Let's look at the Bible. When we have the Holy Spirit, what are the signs? You know, Jesus talks about the signs of how you know fake prophet from a true prophet. He said, by their, help me, sir, by their fruit, you shall know them. So how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? By my fruit. Not my fruit this time, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit that now dwells in me. We see that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. So let's see the characteristics of a good and a perfect gift from God. These are the fruit. It's going to bear this fruit. It's going to make you to be more loving. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Look at that word joy again. We saw that in John. Many rejoiced when at his birth. Even his parents rejoiced too. It brought them great joy. So we see, again, characteristics of a good and a perfect gift from God. It's going to bring you joy. It's going to make you more loving. It's going to bring peace. Peace which passes all understanding. You just hear of very terrible news in the midst of it. Like Jesus in that terrible storm, you can actually still be at peace and asleep on a pillow in the midst of a storm. Because we are talking about the indwelling now of the Holy Spirit. So the mistake we make is that we think the gift of the Holy Spirit is a sign we have the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit of a mix there. If we rely on saying, because we see the gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting, it means that person has the Holy Spirit. No, sir. Do you know why? Because the Bible tells us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it didn't say the gift of our own human spirit. It didn't say the gift of man. What's a gift, sir? You said Doc Uche. Doc Uche, I hope you're watching. Thank you for that jacket. You know, it's making some of us smile here. Don't forget me. Okay, Doc Uche is commenting. Doc Uchiaba sending some gifts of jackets also to, you know, to a place called Hilton here. I can send you postcode and address. Okay, now, the gift that Doc Uche gave you, sir, you will agree with me, came from Doc Uche. It's not yours.
That's correct, sir.
Technically. But Doc Uche gave you what he had for you to use. So you wear it as a gift, but your own fruit is your character. While you're wearing that gift, that good gift from Doc Uche, what sort of character are you under that gift? That's the real you. That tells us what actually you have received within you. So a gift is something on top. A fruit is something that comes from within. So how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Character. Not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not tongues. Not working of miracles. Sir, I was telling my wife, a donkey spoke in the Bible. A donkey. God spoke to a donkey. Sir, can I ask you a question? Has God ever spoken to you through somebody who's not a believer before?
Yes, sir.
So does that mean that the person who spoke to you, that God spoke through, has the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit came on him, used his mouthpiece, and took off
again. Exactly. So that's the difference. So we can't say, because we see the gift operating in somebody, it means they have the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit comes upon. We've seen it even in the Bible. Those who don't even have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come upon them, use them. The example of the donkey. There's even a king in the Bible that took Abraham's wife. God appeared to him. God spoke to him. He spoke to God, you know, mouth to mouth. What about the high priest in the time of Jesus? Do you know that high priest prophesied that it's better for one man to die than, I don't know how he put it. The Bible said he was speaking by the Spirit. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. So let's not confuse gifts with fruit. So let's go on with Galatians 5:22 and then we'll round up there and then look at the questions quickly. Okay? So we can have full 20 minutes to take the questions. All right? But the fruit of the Spirit. So this is how you know God's good and perfect gifts of the Holy Spirit. You will have love, we said joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, you can suffer for long. You're now more patient. Before you had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you were impatient. You know, this is one of the things that really speaks to me. When I just realize I'm a little bit impatient, no. I'm not prating with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I've gone into the flesh at short times. Look at that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are the qualities you see with someone who has the Holy Spirit. They are faithful. They are full of faith. They are, you know, they can count on, you can count on their faithfulness, not by their power, not by their might, but by the Spirit that dwells in them. Look at that gentleness, self-control. Now it says, against such, there is no law. So these are the characteristics of the God's good and perfect gift. So thank you, everyone. Mr. Banks, I don't know, you have any comments? Let's just go straight to the questions. Keep the questions coming. We'll look at the live feed. Please, if the technical team, media, bring the Slido up again for anyone who just joined halfway. Thank you, Jojo, Professor Josephine Gazalaros. Thank you for the comments. We're reading your comments. Thank you, everyone there joining. So that's it. Get on the app, slide.do, and it's going to ask you for the code 67160. So you can send the questions. We'll keep checking the questions, and then we'll answer. All right, Mr. Bams, any question of your choice? Can you read it out for us? And then we'll take it.
The first question.
Wait, before you read, somebody said, I want a wife like yours, Mr. Ayo.
You have to buy yours, sir.
Is that you have to what? What did you say?
I was just joking. Well, pray to the Lord who gives a gift. He said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So he said, a good wife is a gift of the Lord. So yes, I think it's one of the things God gives to us as gifts as well.
And you know, a scripture, I think it's Proverbs chapter 19, it says that houses and riches, we can inherit them from our parents, the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So please, thank you for that request, Mr. Anonymous, or yeah, it should be a Mr. Anonymous who wants a wife like Mr. Ayos. Ask the Lord. It comes from the Lord. Okay. All right. Over to you, sir. The questions?
Yes. So the first question I'll read out tonight is it possible for God to give me a gift and I don't know I have it? Is it possible to give me a gift and I don't know I have it?
Now, let me try to answer that question starting from a physical using a physical analogy, right? If someone gives you a gift, usually they let you know, even if it's a secret gift, you know, like we do Secret Santa in our workplaces. You know, you may not know the giver, but you know that there's a gift that's been given to you. Now, when we look at the scriptures, we talked about the gift of Jesus. We talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gift of grace. God is the giver of these gifts. And God, through what we call evangelism, has a way of telling us, letting us know that we have this gift. These gifts are available. Jesus has died for all our sins. Salvation is available. And after you believe, like we saw last week, because we saw believers who, after they believed in Acts chapter 19, they didn't even know there was the Holy Spirit, which was also the promise of the Father. God had promised. Jesus even said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. So we see the Bible also letting those believers know there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. And then the gift of grace, the grace of God that has brought salvation, has appeared to all men. When we are aware, when we are told, then we know we have this gift. So is it possible for God to give me a gift and I don't know I have it? I will answer that question from those analogies. If God gives you a gift, God will find every means possible to let you know. He will. And, you know, one thing about gifts is this. It's a gift. Uncle Ewa was given the gift of a jacket. Do you know he can do whatever he likes with that gift? He can throw it in the bin. I trust you wouldn't do that. Otherwise, Doc Uche will fly down from Blackpool and give you some vaccinations, some COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21 vaccine. you know, you can do anything you like with a gift. You can throw it in the bin. You can lock it up and not use it. You can, what else can one do with a gift, sir?
You can enjoy the gift.
You can enjoy it. That's a positive one. What else can one do with a gift?
You give it to someone else.
Yeah. You can give to someone else. My wife says in the studio here, you can sell the gift and go make some money. But you see, listen, don't merchandise the gift of God. Freely you have received. The Bible says freely you give. Freely you serve that gift. Freely. Yes, when God gives you a gift, there's always a reward when you serve the gift. You know, God gives, and then we serve it, it multiplies. You know, with God, there's always from grace to grace, glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. So it's possible. So that's the answer I will give that person. Is it possible? God will let you know he's giving you that gift. So if you don't know, God will sovereignly let you know he's giving you that gift. So maybe, sir, what we should actually say to that person is, by adventure, the gift God has given you, you've not used it. You've buried it. You've kept it. You've done all the things we've said, all the negative things. So whoever asked that question, please, maybe you need to check if you've not done anything with the gift God's given you. All right. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, grace. Yes, sir. Next.
Yes, next yes. question. How should a Christian react?
How should a Christian react when they have been scammed? Do you know why I'm laughing?
I know what, sir.
Because I was scammed recently. You know, I told the story, and all of you who laughed at me, you know, I ordered for a chair. I won't tell you from what country, with every due respect, because you can be scammed from any country. And besides, you don't know who is scamming you from that country. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's from that country. They can go live in that country and scam you from the country. So let's not attribute scams to a particular people or a particular country. You know, I come from one of the greatest countries on this earth, and people have tried to, you know, don't let's go there anyway. Spoil my the name of our country. Right. Now, I was scammed, okay? I ordered for a chair because they said it was on sale, and the sale was going to end that day, 70% off. I was so excited. And clicked, ordered, yeah. I got confirmation. And then when I got the chair delivered, I got a horrible-looking chair cover, not even new, in a tiny little package, was delivered to me as the chair. Now, let me use that to answer this question. How should a Christian react when they have been scammed? Number one, to be scammed is an unrighteous thing. Whoever did the scam did something that's not right before God. So as a Christian, we should have that kind of a reaction that this is not right. This is ungodly. This is evil. So, you know, let's establish that being scammed is not something right at all. So now when you look at also our calling, when I say our calling, as Christians, we are here on earth to do what is right before God and enforce righteousness. You know, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when we see things are not right, we are here on earth to do what is right and enforce righteousness. So you shouldn't be in a place where unrighteousness is thriving, and as a Christian, you don't do something about it. At least the least we can do is pray. You know, we live in a community. When we move there, almost every week, young people, the yobs will come, steal a car, drive it roughly, burn the car, right in our neighborhood. And we were watching this almost week by week. I told my wife, we can't be here and this is happening. So we began to pray that God, this must stop. We are meant to be light in the midst of darkness. We live here. The fact that we live here, we cover our community with the precious blood of Jesus. We pray for the presence of God. We pray for the light of God to drive away every darkness in our community. We can do that. So we began to pray. Then we went further. The Bible says, watch and pray. So we began to watch. Anytime it happens again, we pray. Then I said, you know what? We've got to report this. So we began to pray, and we began to, anytime we see this happen, we call the anonymous number and say, look, this is happening. And before you knew it, all that nonsense stopped. So somebody's car was not stolen anymore, was not burnt anymore, and the young people who are committing the crime, at least they had no opportunity to commit such crimes anymore. So we have to react in a righteous way. I would say respond, not react, in a righteous way when you're scammed. So what did I do when I got scammed? Of course, I wasn't happy because it was my money. And if I stole the money, it's a different thing. So I found out what I needed to do. I asked around. I understood that I could actually report the scammer and also get a refund. So I found out how I could report. I got in touch with PayPal, through which the money was sent. And PayPal said, okay, they will investigate. I should send evidence, sent all the evidence. They said they are in touch with the person who sent it. And the person is disputing, so with my evidence, they're going to investigate. So they did the investigation. I got back my money. And I told them, whoever that is, please note them. They shouldn't scam somebody else again. But let me chip this in also. I took a bit of responsibility that maybe I too was not very discerning. Because the Holy Spirit is also one of the things the Holy Spirit helps us is there's a gift of the Holy Spirit called the gift of discernment. So let's be more discerning. All right. Next question, sir.
Yes. I've been asking God for some things, but up till now, I have not received anything. Why?
Beautiful question. Been asking God for some things, but up to now, I've not received anything. Why? Right? I will say this. There's some things I'll be sharing with us on Sunday. Don't miss this Sunday service. If you miss it, listen to the recording. It's about when God answers prayers and when God hears prayers. See, one thing we have to know is that you've been asking for some things does not mean, number one, God will give you what you ask for. I'm saying that carefully. What God promises us is anything we ask that is according to his will. Jesus said, what things soever you ask in my name. What that literally means is that what we ask that is in the nature, the character, and ability of God to give us. For example, I know someone, my favorite lesson many years ago that God, the Holy Spirit, used to teach me about asking and receiving and knowing what to ask for. I know someone who was praying and asking for somebody's for a man who was going to get married to somebody else. And she prayed, she fasted, she quoted scriptures, stood, went on a mountain and said, look, this person must not get married this Saturday because I believe this is the person I should marry. And if this person marries this Saturday, is marrying, making a mistake, it's me. And I saw this person praying so fervently. I was scared. I didn't know so much. I'm still learning, as I know now. And she even asked me to join her in praying, in agreeing with her that this person will not get married, but the person will marry her. Now, that's not in the nature and character of God, right? You, the person has agreed to marry somebody else. Why are you wasting your time? Because the human will, God does not override somebody's will. They can make any choice. They want to marry whoever they want to marry. That's their choice. But you're asking God to intervene because you believe that person is for you. Come on. Excuse me. There are lots of men out there. Born again, Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled men. I was sharing with a brother and also a sister. I said, in the time of Adam and Eve, there was only one man and one woman. So if Adam was going to choose, he couldn't choose a tiger or a lion. He had to choose the only woman who looked like him. Now we have billions of women out there. We have billions of men. So there are many choices. Just look for someone who looks like God, who reminds you of God, who's a child of God. You can make your choice. It's just that whatever choice you make, you live with that choice. You live with the consequences of your choice. Don't marry someone who looks like a tiger. That's just an aside, all right? But, you know, they will tell you, right? So number one, are you asking what those things you're asking for, are they according to the will of God? Are they what God promised in his word? Because that's what God's going to give. And then secondly, you have to understand that God's good and perfect gift comes in God's good and perfect timing. Let's use the case of Elizabeth and John. They've been praying, only God knows how many years. They prayed until they probably thought, well, it's all over. We're old now. She's barren. We can't have children anymore. And God decides, I'm going to show up. In fact, I was having this interesting discussion with my wife. Look at the time John the Baptist was born. He was born 6 months before Jesus the Messiah will be born. And God needed John to be born to point people to Jesus. And who did God decide to give this good and perfect gift of grace? A couple that physically, medically, mentally, sensibly, beyond any common sense, it's impossible to have the gift. That's why it's a gift from God. John, God so timed it in his perfect timing. Tell me, the couple, Elizabeth and John, and Zechariah, they've been praying for years. God didn't answer them for years. But when God chose to answer them, was the perfect timing. So, what you're praying for and you've not received, it doesn't mean God has not heard. Just wait. After we have prayed, done the will of God, the Bible says we have need of patience. So if you are sure that this is what God promised, just wait. They that wait upon the Lord will not be put to shame. Okay, sir.
Yes, next question. How do I stop comparing my children?
Right. Number one, recognize that each child is unique. Each child is an individual on their own. You see, one of the mistakes that parents can make is that you have a first child, you want the second child to be like the first child. Or you realize that, oh, why is John not behaving like his brother Jake? That's comparison. No. John is not behaving like his brother Jake because John is John, Jake is Jake. So what you have to do is, can you step back and try to look at each child and ask God to help you to see their uniqueness? I mean, I've got two sons. They are different. I can tell you that. Completely different. And we have to recognize that they are different and not try to. Let me tell you, you know, when they were both young, I remember we used to buy them the same clothes and dress them alike. That's when they had no control. Now, they dress themselves up. Those guys don't wear the same clothes, I tell you. Unless maybe when we want to do a photo shoot and wear the same jersey. Every child is unique. So recognize they are unique. Ask God to help you step backwards and study your children. That way, you will recognize their uniqueness and stop comparing them. Stop saying, be like your brother. Why can't you be like this? Look, your brother knows maths. Excuse me. They don't have to all know maths. All right, let me stop there. Yes, sir. I recognize our time. So can we quickly take the ones left?
Yes, next one. Can God give us a gift, but our character may make that gift look like it's doing more harm than good to us? How do you handle that?
Good question. Let's go back to the Holy Spirit. We said the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a character, and then the manifestation of those gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, healings, faith, working of miracles, and, you know, whatnot, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, those are the gifts. They are upon us. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not our own gifts. You know, I need to correct something as I was corrected by the Holy Spirit. Don't say, I have the gift of prophecy, right? Biblically, What you have is the gift of the Holy Spirit called prophecy. So you can say the Holy Spirit manifests through me through prophecy. It's not your gift. You are taking, credit, taking the glory. And, you know, that's why at times some people, I tell you, maybe God will just let them prophesy and the prophecy won't come to pass so that they'll know who owns the gift. So you have to understand that it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit can manifest severally, the Bible says, as the Spirit wills, not as we will. I can decide, because some people think they can. Okay, I want prophecy right now, and I'm going to start prophesying. You can prophesy from your heart and your head, not necessarily from the mind of God, not necessarily what the Holy Spirit is saying. So you have to understand the difference. Paul was very careful. Paul would say, I'm saying this of the Lord, and this is me saying this. Paul was able to differentiate. And Paul explained clearly that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So can God give us a gift, but our character may make the look like it's doing more harm? It's the gift of God. Remember, your character will speak for you. The gift of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if God gives you a gift and you don't have a character, your character definitely is going to make you, give you a bad name, make even the gift of God look like rubbish. But you know, for the discerning, they know this is not the fact that a man is prophesying does not mean that God approves of his character. Your character is what you will answer for on the judgment day. The Bible says the soul that sins will die. Every soul will give account. The soul is where our character, the soul is that fruit we're talking about. So the gift is God's gift. God can give the gift to a donkey. You know, God has spoken to me through a ganja smoking person before. A weed smoking. And God spoke to me. Clearly, I heard it. So does that, but the character of that person is what God will judge on the last day. God won't say, yeah, you manifested the gift of the Spirit. Do you know what Jesus said in Matthew 7? He says, on that day, many will come to me. Oh, we prophesied in your name. We did this in your name. We did miracles in your name. What did he say? We'll say, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. So the gift of God is the gift of God. Let's separate that from your own character. Your character will harm you, not the gift of God. The gift of God, remember we've said the characteristics of it tonight. It's not going to harm you. It's your own character that will damage you. And the gifts and callings of God, the Bible says they are without repentance. God gives his gifts, but our own character can damage us, not the gift of God. So let's separate that. The gift of God does not damage. It's our own character that can damage us and we can lose or misuse the gift. You know, some people can merchandise the gift of God. Oh, yeah, once in a while they prophesied, it happened, and then they said they opened a ministry, 2020 Vision Prophecy Ministries. So that way it will do you harm because your character now is making you now greedy for gain, to make the word of God, to make the gift of God, to buy it like that man we learned in the book of Acts. No, you don't buy the gift of God with money. You don't merchandise it. So character is what will help us sustain the gift that God gives us. But if you have a bad character, the character will damage you, not the gift. The gift is not meant to damage. So that's how to handle it. Work on your character. I would say focus more on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Let that grow. Focus on that. I'm telling you, the Bible says, against such there's no law. You are unstoppable when you are producing fruit rather than gift, gift, gift. We should shift from gift, being gift-focused, to being fruit-focused. We must bear fruit. Bear fruit. The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified. John chapter 15, when we bear much fruit. He didn't say God is glorified when we manifest much gifts, because the gifts belong to God. Let me say this. Do we think God is impressed by his gifts? They belong to him. God is impressed by our own fruit, not by his gifts. It's his gift. Right? Let me go back to Doc Uche. Right? Doc Uche gave you a jacket. That's a gift from Doc Uche. If Doc Uche sees that when you wore that gift, the character, your character transformed, you became more loving, you became more kind, you became more gentle, Doc Uche will be more impressed. Not with the jacket, but what with you underneath the jacket. So please handle this way. Let's focus on producing fruit, which is the character of the Holy Spirit. All right, sir. I think we have two more questions, right? You are muted, sir.
Sorry about that. Yes. How can I identify a good gift from God? Can some good gifts become bad?
We have just spoken about the characteristics of good and perfect gift from God. I will say, please, like the Berean Christians in Berea, Acts chapter 17, please go listen to this message again. Go check the scriptures again, and then you will get the answer from there. That's how you identify a good and a perfect gift from God. So that's the assignment I will give that person. Can some good gifts become bad? No. We talked about the characteristics of the of good and perfect gifts. Like you said, they are not going to harm us. So please, I just would counsel that individual, please listen to this message again, the early part before we start taking, maybe you came late in late. We talked about that. So go look at the characteristics of good and perfect gifts from God. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so next question. The gift of family and friends are things for us to thank God for always. But I have bad friends and my family is terrible. What do I do?
The gift of family and friendship are things for us to thank God for always. Yes, because we do not choose family. God chose the family we will be born into. Friendship is what we choose. We have a choice over who we can become friends with. So let's separate family and friendship to start with. So as per family, if you understand, recognize that it's God who chose that family for you. Thank God, because God knows why he put you in that family. No matter how bad the family or terrible the family may be, listen, where does light shine most? The effect and the potency and the power of light is felt and seen where there is darkness. So thank God for your family. God has put you there to shine. Your testimony will not be complete without, let me borrow the word the person used, the terribleness of your family. People look at you, wow, you mean he came out of that family? God be praised. God be glorified. So friendship, you chose those bad friends. Listen, you can unchoose them. You know, social media is funny. I know people misuse it. You know, you have friends on social media, you can unfriend. Listen, you are sending me stupid stuff. You're sending me rubbish stuff. You're sending me things that will corrupt my mind, that will affect my character, that will vex my righteous soul. Come on, I'm going to unfriend you. We have the power of choice. We dealt with friendship when we did a series sometime last year, if we remember, when we were talking about relationships. You have a choice of friends. So I will say choose wisely. Jesus actually broke it down. I chose you. You didn't choose me. Now I will call you friends. when we read that scripture, I think it's John 15, I'm not quoting accurately, so please pardon me. So you can choose friends. So if you have bad friends, please let's just be sure that you ain't a bad friend yourself. The Bible says he that will have friends will show himself friendly. So bad friends, now evil communication corrupts good manners. The Bible says flee from all appearance of evil. I wouldn't compromise who I move with, who I call a friend. It's choice. Please note that you have a choice when it comes to friendship. It's only family. But let me tell us, the beautiful thing and the way God balances family, he takes you out of your biological family and puts you in a church family. So that's also a wonderful thing. So value church family also, because that's your spiritual family that God uses to compensate the biological family. So you can't be wrong with God. Okay, I recognize our time is fast spent, but I know when we have this question and answer, we just give extra time. So I think we have one more.
Just two more questions. So the first right. one.
Yeah, go on, sir.
There are not lots of men. We've been looking. Where are they?
There are not lots of men. We've been looking. Where are they? That sounds like that person is biased. What do I mean? How can you conclude that there are not lots of men? God made billions of men. Let me tell you, once upon a time, there was a prophet in the Bible who went to God and said, God, I'm the only last man standing here. I'm the only righteous man here. All the prophets have been killed. So, you know, so there are not much people around. God answered that prophet, and I will give you that answer. I don't know exactly where that in the Bible. I think it's Prophet Elijah. If people in the comments can find out that story where he says that, God told him, no, I've got 400 guys, man. I'm hiding them. So you're not the last man standing. So I'm just telling you, there are lots of men. Okay? Ask God. The same God who told Elijah that I've reserved these 400 guys, I've kept them in the cave. 400 prophets. God will show you where the men are. Maybe you are looking in the wrong direction. Maybe you're biased. And don't limit yourself to say there are not lots of men. You know, one of the things counseling people when it comes to marriage is that you see that people are just kind of biased. They say in the church they don't find good men, so they start looking outside. Listen, don't listen to the lie of the enemy. The church is not a building. The church is the people. The church is the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. Don't tell me in the body of Christ you can't find a man. You may not find in your local assembly, but there are lots and lots of righteous men in the body. Don't be tempted by the enemy to go look outside. Okay? Thank you, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let's see God's answer. God did answer. Isn't that same scripture where God told him he has actually kept? That's a good one. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm not sure if it's in that same chapter. Sorry? 19. Chapter 19, verse what? Are you sure it's in chapter 19? Just to let that person know, using the scripture to answer you. If we can get that scripture, if anybody can find it, you can put it on. Okay, 1 Kings 19. What verse, sir? Doc Uche, thank you very much. What verse? Okay, we've gone to 19. Where is it?
18.
Is it 18?
Verse 18.
Okay, verse 18. 1 Kings 19:18. If the media can bring that up on the screen. Let's see what happened in verse 18. All right. Look at what God said in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. It says, yet I've left for me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. It's even 7,000. Right? I have yet reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. That's when Elijah thought he was the last man standing. So to that person, there are lots of men. Ask God to show you where they are. You've been looking. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, we have 21 days of prayers. Use that as one of the prayer pointers. All right. Okay, do we have one more question? I think there's a request.
One more question, sir.
Okay.
Wait, Pastor. I have to wait for the Holy Spirit when it is prophesying. How about speaking in tongues?
I have to wait for the Holy Spirit when...
Yeah, I think prophet was...
Okay. How about speaking in tongues?
Yeah.
Right. Now, when we read the scriptures where it talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and especially when it comes to tongues, the first time we see tongues, for example, is in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting for that promise, and the Holy Spirit came, fell upon each one of them, tongues of fire, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, with the Holy Spirit, listen, before you speak in tongues, always ask that the Father will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You see, we are so used to tongues that at times people are speaking tongues and the tongues is not the tongue of the Holy Spirit. How do I know? I was talking to a friend once. I won't call him a friend. An acquaintance. And he said, you Christians, you are very funny because I hear you saying all sorts of you say you're speaking in tongues and all that. And he began to speak in tongues. This guy was not a believer. He doesn't believe in Jesus. And he started speaking in tongues. He started speaking the way he heard people speak. So what do you want to say about that? At times, we Christians, I say this with every deference, the tongues we speak at times is not the tongue of the Holy Spirit. We are just reciting. You can memorize. I remembered when I didn't know much, I had this very zealous friend. We used to teach people how to speak in tongues. We tell them, say, ba, 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 e, zizi, ba, ba, re, ba, ba, say, no. So the best way to speak in tongues, wait for the Holy Spirit. You have to wait. When I say wait, ask to be filled, and then you speak in tongues. As you're speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit can move you to start prophesying. It's the same principle. Let's be careful with that. It's the same principle. I always consciously, under my breath, I ask, Father, fill me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit before I start praying in tongues. So same principle. Okay? So if you wait to speak in, to prophesy, please wait to speak in tongues also. All right, please, real men, stand up. We need you. Okay, please, real men, stand up. We need a relationship seminar for this pandemic lockdown situation. Thank you for that suggestion. We will. In fact, whoever asked that question just today, I was impressed in my heart about that about the relationship. We will come up with something and let us know. Right. Not just for this pandemic, for post-pandemic, because relationship is something really. My wife and I were discussing this on our way back. There's a lot from experience and what God has taught us that we could share with people. Somebody there, I can see. Can the hospitality team please kindly send about a dozen complimentary church cards? Where I'm working recently, I come across many people want to invite them. What you can do for us first, we will announce when we'll start the hybrid services. We'll start meeting physically. at the moment, please invite these people online. Just send them the Facebook link. Love Assembly, Liverpool. You'll see the past services. You can send that, forward them. We like, we share. Like this service, for example. Okay, I know if the person is saying, what if I don't know their Facebook addresses? Okay, that's a point there. Okay. The person send their address, so please let us know that. Don't display that, please. We'll try. Maybe we'll create a card. The media people are listening. We probably will create a card just showing people how they can log on, join the online services, because we're going to be strong on that from now on, even post-pandemic, post-lockdown, when we can start meeting physically and also online. So we design a card that just tells people, join us online, and we give the dates and the time. Good one there. Thank you for that individual. Thank you. God bless you. You've inspired us to do something. I think that's it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. That's all the questions.
Okay. Thank you, Daddy AY. I step back now. Over to you as we close the service.